So welcome, everybody. I'm here with my good friend Jody Chapman of SoulSpeak blog at jodychapman.com. So grateful to have you here today, Jody, because we're going to be talking about your experience with some being an introvert, being shy, even social anxiety. And I have a lot of subscribers and people that have found me through YouTube and through my journey on overcoming that. And I didn't really even realize that you had experienced that, because we connected over Skype and you know a lot of bloggers and stuff. And then the more I shared about what I do, the more you started to say, hey, I've experienced that too. And then I thought, what a great opportunity to share your story, to help people, because another story, especially if somebody is out there doing things and stepping beyond their fears and challenging themselves, which I absolutely love. So thanks for being here and welcome.
Thank you so much, David. I'm so excited just to be here and talk about this. And let's go. Let's see where the conversation takes us.
Let's jump in. All right, I like it. Let's do it. Cool. So you're an introvert. I'm an introvert. A lot of us are introverts that have struggled with shyness throughout our lives. And I'm just curious as to what, as far as an introvert, what does that sort of mean to you? Like, how is that kind of driven your life in a way by that kind of, we're much more than just introverts, but still there's a big part of it that affects how we do things, and what our strengths and weaknesses, if we want to, go that route too. So what's the experience been like for you, if that makes sense?
It totally makes sense. I think I grew up hiding being an introvert and thinking that maybe there was something wrong with me. And I've always been, I know that being shy and being an introvert are two different things, but I've always been both. And so when one of my first memories when I was a little kid, I remember asking my mom if I could just go take a nap, if I could please go to my room and take a nap. And she'd say, you can after you've played a little more. And I would say to her, I just wanted to be alone in my room. And I had a whole world in there. And I love to read and I love to be alone. There was something about that recharged me, and I felt like maybe there's something wrong with me, because I didn't want to play all the time. I didn't want to go outside. I didn't want to do what all the other kids seemed to want to do. I just wanted to be alone. And so that was my first kind of introduction to being an introvert, even though I didn't know the name for it or have a real clear kind of knowing about what that meant. It's been with me all of my life, and you can probably relate to some of that, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how you made that distinction between being shy and being introverted is a different thing, though I often like to say they can go hand in hand. It's kind of easy to become shy because we, recharge and like to spend time by ourselves more so than extroverts. And of course there's a scale and continuum and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So what do you see as, how has that helped you be where you are today to be an introvert? I think there's a lot of strength in it, and there's a whole movement, with, what is her name? Susan, who I'm talking about? She does the TED Talks. Susan, her name escapes me. Brilliant TED Talk she does on the power of introverts.
Yeah.
Susan Cain.
Cain, yes.
I wrote a blog post about her, and I even on Twitter, I was like, great stuff, Susan. She got back to me, I'm like, yay.
Yeah, I think there is a whole movement going on right now with it. I think because the introverts are coming out of the closet.
Right, yeah.
I think that there's no shame in it, and that it's actually a strength, like you said. And so I had been, like I said, in the closet for almost all my life, and I faked being an extrovert growing up. I don't think anybody would have really known that I was an introvert, because I was so outgoing and, I faked it. I learned how to live in an extroverted world. And so, but at the end of the day, I was the only one who knew how exhausted I was and how just frazzled I felt, and who knew that I needed that time at the end of the day to just recharge. But so there's so many benefits to being an introvert, and I think one of the main ones is just being in touch with, I'm all about the soul, as you know, and reconnecting with the soul. And so what I love about being introverted is we are more apt, maybe. I don't want to say anything to make it seem like I'm bashing extroverts, because I have a lot of, yeah. Some of my best friends are extroverts, and I love them dearly. So what I've found for me is that it's helped me to know who I am and to really reconnect with my inner being, because I have so much time alone. Mm. You know, I spend hours a day on my own, even still. And I love that, because there's a whole inner world going on that I know about now. And if I were pushing through that or ignoring that part of me, I'd be missing this whole spiritual life, and I would be really sad. So I think for me, that's one of the main things. Another one is, I think we're really empathetic and sensitive. And so if you walk into a room, an introvert can usually sense the energy, because we're more withdrawn and you take it all in. Mm-hmm. So an extrovert might walk into a room and just start talking and, you know, going up to people and having fun. And just, introverts are a little different, where we'll kind of scan it and just kind of see what's going on, who's here, what's the vibe. Yeah. And I love that. I think that's a strength.
Yeah. The in the psychological definition, they say, you know, they take more time before they think. But I like your definition, which is a little more holistic, which is we take time to feel out the room as well and intuit what's going on and pick up things. And I think when it gets into dysfunctional territory is when an introvert will come in, or a highly sensitive person, we could kind of mesh that in there, and then they'll pick something up and self-assign it and think that means something about them. And I think that's where we get into the social anxiety realm, is when people distort that and go, oh, well, if they're acting strangely or something, or, you know, they're something that somebody does gets assigned as, oh, I'm weird.
Or, yes.
And that's where we get into that, yeah.
And especially if you think of when you're at a party and you're standing kind of in the back taking it in, and it's not that you're not having a good time, it's just that you're getting your bearings for a second. Mm-hmm. And so someone else might look at that and think, oh, you're not having a good time. Or you think you're, I've had a lot of people say to me that they think I'm sort of stuck up because...
Yeah, sure.
Because I, or other words that aren't... because I'm not as outgoing right off the top, you know, it takes me a second, and it has nothing to do with anything other than I'm getting my surroundings sort of into my body and getting comfortable. Yeah. And so I think there's a lot of misperception, and as introverts, that is where the social anxiety comes in, because then all of a sudden we think, oh my God, there's something wrong with me.
Right.
I should be acting differently. And then you get nervous and you think, oh God, like if that's wrong.
What else is wrong?
And it starts a whole cycle. And so I think just the more we can talk about it and kind of get it out there.
Yeah.
Say that there's absolutely nothing wrong with this. It's just a way of being.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and also, when you said, you know, don't hate on extroverts, I'm big on that too, because people will be like, I hate extroverts on YouTube comments and stuff. I'm like, no. Like, yeah, like there is some like ground we need to stake and own as introverts, because extroverts socially and culturally are more highly valued in a westernized culture versus more Eastern, particular Eastern cultures, let's say. So there is something to be like, hey, you know, we have to make our stand, yet at the same time, not... overrun the extroverts with negativity.
And I have to totally agree with you. Like I said, a few of my best friends are extroverts, and we laugh about it because they are so different, you know, than me. Like, they go into a room and just like, woohoo!
Yeah.
And I'm just a little, you know, a little softer and quieter, and there's a place for both of us. And professionally, I've had people say that depending on their personality or depending on where they are on a certain day, they'll gravitate toward an extrovert. Or if they're feeling a little more introspective, they'll come to me. And
sure.
So I have a softer energy.
Yep.
And sometimes that's what people are looking for, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes they want the extrovert to kind of pull them up and just like, let's go. They're both needed equally.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting the distinction you make, because I've sort of trained myself to be, you know, I say outgoing. I don't say extroverted, because it really is the way we recharge our energy. And there's times where I can, you know, get things going and be a little crazy or loud if I'm out or something. But I all need my chill time. Like yesterday, I was like, I need to chill. Because even though I've learned to be a lot more social, there's times where it's weird. Like, I'll get to a point where I sort of get addicted to it, to going out and being social, because I used to be so the other way. But then there's a cost to that, because I am an introvert by nature. And it's really hard to shift into an extrovert, you know, to actually shift that energy recharge thing. And then I'll go out and I'll just be like, you know, I'll just be like a blob. Be like, yeah. Or I'll be trying to force it. And I'll just get, you know, really tired and overwhelmed. And I won't be as present with people as I can be if I, you know, have more recharge, more charge to me.
And I think that's the key, is knowing how much recharge time you need for each activity that you do.
Yeah.
And it's a balance and it's a learning. And so for me, it's been only in the last year that I've been doing a lot of Skype sessions every week,
yeah,
which can be draining, no offense. But
what?
So each day I have usually about 3 to 4 hours of Skype, which is a lot.
Wow.
And so I do that 4 days a week, and then I have 3 days a week where I don't have anything, no calls. I won't even answer the phone, because I need those 3 days for every. So it's almost like for every day that I'm on, I need a day that I'm off.
Yeah.
And people, you have to kind of figure that out for yourself if you're an introvert to know. But if I don't get that time, I feel like you were saying, I can't be present. I can get just resentful of everything, and just it's not good. So I know that I need that for my sanity, really.
Yeah, you just made me write a note down, because I want to do a blog post or something on how different ways to spend your downtime so that you can recharge, and ways that people enjoy doing that, because we all have different things. And which I would be curious, like, what do you, are there things that you do that, do you have, you know, I don't know, whatever it is you do in your downtime that helps recharge you, or is it just like laying down and, you know, or what
it's
is it?
It's pretty much that, yeah. Because I'm so on, like I said, during those 4 days of constant interaction, and many of the Skypes are groups.
Yeah.
And so that is even more energy coming in. And so on the days off, and I've gotten so just strict about making sure I have those days where I just tell people, even family, I can't talk. I'm done. You know, these are my days that I'm not. They're off completely.
Wow. Yeah.
And so they just know that if they leave a message, I'll get back to them on an on day. But so that's one thing, is to set clear boundaries. So I do that. And another thing is I have this really comfy robe that I put on.
Nice.
It's like pink and fluffy. It's awesome.
Recharge robe.
It is. When I put that on, everyone knows, like, she's not kidding. Like, and I just go to the couch, watch tons of movies and read.
Yep.
And that's what I do. Play games with my husband, who I know you know. Yeah,
yeah.
We just, thankfully he's an introvert too, which helps a lot. And so he totally gets pulling the shades, closing the door, you know, not answering the door.
Right.
So yeah, just things like that.
I love the image of in the pink robe, like everybody gets scared.
like
fear.
Uh-oh.
Do not talk to Jody right now. She is recharging. That's great. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Thanks for letting us look at the inner life of the masterful introvert, the masterfully creative introvert there. I like that. So what I want to ask you, Jody, was about your experience with shyness and social anxiety and how that got in the way. And a really cool distinction that I like, that kind of a new friend that I met online, Sean Cooper, who has a social anxiety ebook set, and I have a social anxiety video course. He talked about shyness being more in like specific situations and not as constant as social anxiety, which is kind of like a pervasive thing that someone will experience most of the time when they're around people, or also be afraid of in their house, which we call anticipatory anxiety. So I just, from your perspective, are there times where shyness, social anxiety, we won't make a huge distinction necessarily, you don't have to. Whenever that got in the way, were there times where that got in the way and you were like, oh, I wish that I didn't have this or this shyness and that I could just, you know, step through it or act through it?
Definitely, my whole life. So I would say this has been, I think for anybody who's dealt with social anxiety or shyness, whatever you want to call it, I think it's probably something that's been with them most of their life. And it's just something that you've learned, maybe, hopefully, to handle and process and create your life around in a positive way. I didn't always do that. I'm definitely working through it now. But in my childhood years, I didn't have a name for it. I just thought that there was something different about me, like I was talking about with the introversion too. Mm-hmm. And so what I learned, though, was when I was in school, it was so helpful, even though I didn't see it as helpful at the time, where to have teachers pushing me out of my box and to have them calling me to the front of the class or calling on me even if I didn't raise my hand, which was mortifying at the time.
Yeah.
You know, to a shy person with social anxiety, the absolute worst thing you can do is shine light on them and have everybody look at them.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate, like, oh my God, mm-hmm. You know, let me go crawl in a hole right now. So when that would happen, you know, at the time I would be mortified, but now looking back, I see that that actually made it so it wasn't paralyzing for me. Because once I graduated and moved on and didn't have teachers pushing me, it did become paralyzing because I didn't know at the time that I could be that person, that my own personal pusher. I know that might have different meanings.
Yeah.
But so I didn't know that. And so I spent years and years shying away from any opportunity that came my way. A couple of quick examples. When I was in college, I got a scholarship to study in France, and I was so terrified of the unknown. Because like you were talking about, the anticipatory anxiety can get so strong. If I don't know what's ahead, I make it this huge thing, and it just gets paralyzing. And so I didn't go to France. I had the plane ticket and the host family and everything, and at the last minute, I had a panic attack and just said, I can't get on the plane.
Yeah.
So that's fear.
Yeah.
So I didn't have anybody saying, you're going, I paid for the ticket, it's happening, you know,
yeah.
Get on the plane.
Yeah.
And I was asked to speak at my college graduation, which is a wonderful opportunity and a great honor. And I was so afraid of having everyone look at me that I just said, no, I can't do it. I'm sorry, but I can't. And so what I learned is the more I said no to these opportunities, the more paralyzed I became and the bigger the fear became. And so it seemed like this mountain that I could never get over. It was so overwhelming to even think about trying. And a few years ago, I think I just reached my limit of living life in hiding and living life in fear. And I just said, you know what, there's got to be more and it's got to start with me. And it sounds so cliche, but it's true. And so it does. It starts with ourselves. So what I started doing is little tiny bits. I mean, really baby steps to most people, but to me seemed huge.
Yeah.
Saying yes to my life. And if a little opportunity came my way and I felt uncomfortable and I was scared and the anxiety started, I would do it anyway.
Yeah.
And I thought, what's the worst that can happen? Am I going to die? No.
Yeah.
You know, am I going to pass out? Maybe, but at least I'll have a good story, you know?
Yeah.
So one of the things that I did is I joined this, a couple years ago, I joined this marketing group where we had to fly to Philadelphia for the first meeting. And I had been away from people for a while, like really, it'd been about 10 years. And so on a regular basis in a group like that. And so I went and I was so terrified that I woke up in the hotel drenched in sweat, just drenched. And I thought, I cannot go down there. There's no way. And I just said to myself, but you can get up and get in the shower. You can do that.
Mm.
And so I thought, okay, you're right, I can. And when I got out of the shower, but you can't, you don't have to go down there, but you can at least get dressed.
Right.
And right. So I did it in these little baby incremental steps, and you could just go down for breakfast and just see what they have, you know?
Right.
And that's how it got me to the meeting.
Yeah.
And at the meeting, I had to stand up and say my name and say why I was there, and there's several hundred people watching me, and I thought, if I had known that when I got up that morning, I wouldn't have gone.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I didn't. But it's these baby steps that get you through it. And I was a nervous wreck the whole time inside. On the outside, I look fine. No one would know. Everything appears okay.
Right.
Inside, oh my gosh, I was terrified. So the more I did that and I said yes to life and to living, the easier it got. So that's what I would wish for everybody, is to, when you get to that paralyzed space, because you've been shying away from your life, to be able to step into it and just take baby steps toward life again.
Yep.
And it gets so much easier each time.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. Especially, that's incredible the way you figured it out. You tricked yourself into getting down there in those really tiny steps. You don't have to do that, just the next thing. Yeah. Not this huge daunting thing for someone in your position back then.
Yeah.
It's really important, and it's important, what I hear, is to celebrate those little successes too, which you said earlier, because I work with clients, and something like starting a conversation with a cashier can be a huge, huge thing for them.
Yeah.
And that's to be celebrated, because to somebody else, he's like, what is that? It's like, in their world, it's a leap.
And for people who don't understand what it's like to have social anxiety, that's going to seem completely foreign. And it's going to be like, what are you talking about? Like, why can't you just say hello? Or why can't, you know? But it really, it's out of your comfort zone. It may not be a huge stretch for everybody, but at least it's a little uncomfortable for most people who know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely, yeah. So, clearly not everybody has figured out like you have, but it's surprising how many people I talk to when I say that I have this blog, Social Expression, and that I help people with this, and I have a course, and they go, yeah, I've had that in my life, and I used to struggle with that a lot, and I figured it out somehow. But not everybody there's resources that weren't available, I guess, now that weren't before, that you just figured it out. So how do you view your life now, and how do you keep challenging yourself? Because I know you've got some great stuff coming up, some courses, both online and then, which is easy for an introvert, online, right? But actually in-person stuff, which people are like, hey, we want to see this from you, we'd love, and you're like, oh, okay, it's kind of like you're being called to it, right? It's like, it's not of your own doing, and you've got to like answer the call. So what do you do, and how do you challenge your comfort zone?
I think it's like I said, baby steps, and this has been several years in the making, and so I'm not the type to leap without, I'm not going to go up to the edge of the cliff and jump off. I just don't work that way. That works for some people, and then they're cured and it's done.
Yeah.
For me, it's more about organically sort of getting myself there and being okay with each step along the way. So what that means is I tried to leap a year ago, and I was invited to be a speaker at this huge event with some of my favorite authors. Mm. And when I found out that they wanted me to speak, I dropped to the floor in tears. And I thought, there's no way. I can't do it. It's too big. I can't do it. So anyway, the universe was backing me on that one. And the event was canceled because it was just too soon. So what I'm doing is I continue to step out of my comfort zone online. And what I'm going to do is have a retreat. My husband and I are hosting a retreat in January with a friend of ours in Oregon, where we live, which is a in-person, face-to-face kind of thing, which is a stretch for me. So, but it's a comfortable stretch because it's with a friend and my husband, and so it's not a jump off the cliff kind of stretch.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to host my own retreat soon after that with people in my community online that I already know. So it's a kind of like a homecoming retreat.
Yeah.
So that it's comfortable. So, and then the next step would be, you know, speaking engagements, that sort of thing. But it's a stretch. It really is. And if I said that I'm going to be on a stage just speaking right now, it's too far for me.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm still working through it.
So. I'm so excited to hear that from you. It just gets me excited to see, to hear your story and how far you've come. And you don't have to go to the stage, Jody. You just have to put, you know, take a shower first, put your clothes on, eat breakfast.
Thank you.
Right? You don't have to speak on that stage.
Just psych go there. Out. It is the anticipatory anxiety that's the worst. And so I find that once I'm there, I'm fine. And I think most people feel that who have this, that you, it's the lead up to getting there that's the, oh my God, because you don't know, it's the unknown.
Yeah, the unknown, the fear of the unknown. Well, that's what anxiety is fear of the unknown future.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the definition of it. Great. Thanks for sharing all that. So you have, of course, your amazing blog, JodyChapman.com, which is how I connected with you. But you also have a free e-course coming up that you and your husband, Dan, have come up with together. Is that correct?
Yes, we're super excited about that. Yeah, it's called Soulful Journaling. And we have 12 books. It's a series of books called Soulful Journals. And they are just, they're beautiful ways to get in touch with your soul through writing. We're both writers and journalers, have journaled all of our lives and feel so strongly about this as a way to get to know yourself better. And so we've wanted to create a course for a while. And I'm super excited because we wanted to give it away for, it's free. Absolutely no strings attached.
Wow.
Free. It's
awesome.
It's our way of giving back, and it's a 4-week course. We're gonna sell it in the future, so it's only free for a week. So it's a real time sensitive kind of thing. But we're part of this giveaway with, I think there's 5 other gifts that are all equally amazing, and so I think you'll have the link below so everybody.
Yeah absolutely. I'll post the link up below for those who are watching the. Watching the interview here, the video, so this course is about kind of reconnecting with yourself, with your soul. Is that kind of the basis?
Exactly, and it's for writers and non-writers alike. You do not have to be a writer to be a journaler because it's private and it's not censored and it's not, you know, you don't have to worry about the grammar and everything. All you need to do is get in touch with your soul, and we'll help you learn how to do that.
Cool. Yeah, that's great, and I can see how there'd be a lot of benefit for somebody with anxiety, fear, social anxiety, self-doubt, all that stuff. And because you're a very experienced writer and journaler, I can't imagine a better person to help people do that. So,
thank you.
Very generous of you. So that it's a week sign up, and then it lasts 4 weeks, right? So there's a week period in which they can sign up.
But when they exactly, it's free for a week, and but when they sign up, they'll get the first week's lesson within an hour.
Oh.
So it's immediate.
Okay, cool, awesome. So so I'll post that link below. And thanks so much for doing this interview. I think it's been cool to hear your story. I think it's inspiring, and I hope it inspires people that are watching this, for you guys out there, to keep working through your fears, your anxieties, social anxiety, shyness. So that you can really create and keep creating the life that you want. So thanks so much, Jody. Gratitude for the conversation here.
Thank you, everybody, that these baby steps that are so important. And don't think of the mountain of fear. Just move one little step forward. And I swear that's what I did. And it's really helped. And it's gotten me to where I am today.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wonderful spending time with you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. And for everybody, please do check out the link below for Jody's Soulful Journaling free e-course and jump on it while you can right now because it's free and it won't be. So until next time, take care. Bye-bye.